Have your Bible, turn to Romans chapter number 3. Romans chapter number 3, verse number 1. Bible says, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then, are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. I want to preach on this thought this evening, God will be my help. Our sins are gone. Amen? Our sins are gone. As we look at this in the writings of Paul to the Romans, and he asked a question. He said, what advantage then hath the Jew? Does a Jew have an advantage over anybody else? He said, or what profit is there of circumcision? Does it make anything different? He said, much every way. He said, okay, he said, here's the answer. He said, here's the question, and here's the answers. He said, much every way. Chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Amen? He said, so these are the questions, but he said, here's the answer. He said, in every way, praise God, because unto the Jew, praise God, was committed the oracles of God. The very verbiage of God was spoken to their hearts. That was the difference, praise God, in what the Jew had. So they ought to have been more wisdom. They ought to have been more knowledgeable. They ought to have been on top of this thing, and they ought to knew, praise God, the good God of the Word that he was speaking, praise God, on their behalf. Praise the Lord. So the Lord speaks, and he speaks through Paul here, and Paul asks some other questions for what if some did not believe? Amen? Should that affect our believing? If others around us don't believe, should that affect our believing? I'm afraid today in the air that it does. Amen? I'm afraid just because people around us don't believe, we kind of get squeamish and we hold back. Amen. We won't just stand up on our faith believing in Lord Jesus Christ, praise God. Okay. Hey, we ought to be grounded and rooted in our faith and say, you know what? Jesus died for my sins, and he rose up victorious over death in the grave on the third day. And then he went to sit at the right hand of the Father, and he's sitting there now, praise God, to be an advocate for me. And it doesn't matter who we're with or what they're doing or how they're saying or how they act or react, praise God, that oughtn't to change our attitude. What they were wanting to do, they was wanting to change Paul's attitude. They was all wanting to change his thinking. They was wanting to change his speaking because it didn't line up just exactly with what they thought their plan was and what they wanted to accomplish in this world today. But I'm telling you tonight, it doesn't matter what we want to accomplish. It doesn't matter what we want to do. It's what God has done through Jesus Christ our Lord and what he wants to accomplish for me and you. Amen. Amen. That's what matters tonight. Praise God. I get excited about that. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. God's not done with us yet, young'uns. We may be running up toward the finish line, but praise God, we don't quit till we get there. Amen. I used to run cross country in the springtime when I was wrestling. And it would keep me in shape during the summertime so when wrestling started, buddy, I was ready to go. Amen? And in cross country, when you're running, you run a steady pace. And you got to find your pace. If you don't find your pace, you'll burn out early. Amen? But you find your pace in a race that you're running, and you set that pace, and it don't matter. Hey, you might have 4 or 5 or 10 or 2 dozen that'll blow by you in the beginning, but praise God, just stay steady. Just keep running the race. Praise God, to the best of your ability, the way that you know what you can handle. Praise God, to get you through to the end. Amen. And in cross country, the thing about it, you run that steady pace, but then you come to a point in the race that you realize that you're getting close to the finish line. Amen. Praise God, I won't say glory, hallelujah. Paul said, you know what? I've run a good race, praise God, and I realize I see the finish line ahead. It ain't nowhere to stop. It ain't nowhere to slow down. There's no time to regroup. Praise God, I'm getting ready to sprint it out. Amen. What you do, you'd run that steady pace until you got to a certain point. And then you'd turn on that reserve, praise God. And you'd run just as hard as you can across the finish line. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, it's a funny thing. There was always a whole lot of them would go breezing by you in the beginning. Especially those youngers like the freshmen and the sophomores that hadn't been running long. Amen. And they'd take off and out that gate. They'd get given it all they had. Boy, they'd run by you. They'd go plumb out of sight before you could think. Amen. Yeah. I mean, they'd be getting gone. But then in a little while with your steady pace, you'd come upon them. And they'd be huffing and puffing with their tongue hanging out. Amen. Praise God, about half of what they was moving when they come by you. You kind of just smile within yourself and just keep your steady pace right on by them. Praise God. And just a little ways down the track, you'd come across another and another and another. Praise God, that run all they could run, fast as they could run. But they burn out in the praise God. And they didn't have no finishing power. You say, Pastor Jeff, you mean we ought to hold back? No, praise God, I'm going to say we ought to be steady in our walk. We ought to be steady in our talk. We ought to be steady in our conversation. We ought to be steady in our manner of life, praise God, realizing that we're doing it for Jesus Christ, our Savior, because we want to finish well. Amen. But they were some of these folks that were accusing Paul. Amen. They were accusing Paul of being slanderous and telling lies. Amen. Because he was preaching, now get this, he was preaching salvation by grace alone. Amen. He was preaching salvation by grace alone. And they didn't like it. Amen. He was being accused of promoting sin. He said, you're promoting sin. You say, well, it's just by grace. He said, you don't have to do none of the things that the Sanhedrin's saying that you need to do. It's just by grace and grace only. Paul said, that's right. It's by grace and grace alone. Amen. Verse number 8. To make a long story short, Paul says this. He said, not rather as we be slanderously reported, as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. He said, hey, listen, some of you have been slanderously saying that we're promoting evil. You said, just do evil. And if you do, you go continue in evil. And at the end, the good's going to come. Praise God. But he said, listen, he said, that's not the way it is. Praise God. Hey, listen, condemnation would come to those that do evil. And they said, a righteousness and a righteous judgment would come to those that do good. Amen. Paul was being falsely accused. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. But he said if those people that listen, those people had experienced the grace of God in forgiveness. Hello? Had had experienced the grace of God in forgiveness. You know, sometimes God's grace is sufficient to forgiveness, but we have to be able to forgive ourselves. Amen. When we believe on Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, we can begin to forgive ourselves of our sinfulness. Paul said, we've all sinned. He said, we look around here, he said, the Jews, it's been proven that the Jews and the Gentiles, that they are all under sin. Paul said, we've all sinned to come short of the glory of God. Amen. In Romans, right here in verse 23, all sinned to come short of the glory of God. None of us is perfect. He says, written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's not a person in this world. There's not a person in the community. There's not a person in this church or right in everything that we do. Amen? Amen? Every one of us struggle. Every one of us make mistakes. Every one of us come up short. Amen. I'm glad I've got a God who loves me anyway. He cares for me. He's there to help me. He said, there's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. He said, we need to realize, praise God, just who we are. And just realize what God is and what He wants to do. Amen. Praise God. He said, and when we come into the amazing grace of God and we get forgiveness from God, praise God, we come to the place and the point in our lives that we don't desire to sin anymore. Amen. Do you hear what I said? We don't desire to sin anymore. Those old desires, they go away. And we become that new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen? In 1 John, little John, he said if they do sin, and people sin, amen? It's not if, it's just when. Hello? Come on now. Amen, we're not perfect yet. But if we do sin, I was thinking about this yesterday. I was reading and studying, thinking on some of this stuff. I was thinking about over there in the book of Numbers when Moses was bringing the people of Israel. And God was blessing them. God was protecting them. God was leading them. God was bringing them out. He was heading them for the promised land. They was in the wilderness. He is feeding them for manna. Angel food, angel's bread, praise God. But the Bible said they begin to murmur and complain. Amen. Numbers chapter 16. It said 250 of the princes rose up and they began to murmur. Who'd they have to murmur to? They began to murmur about Moses and Aaron. Amen. They said, you take too much upon you. He said, who do you think you are? Now they were descendants of the Levites, praise God, the tribes of Reuben. They were given the responsibility, the Korah and his family, they were given the responsibility of taking care of the tabernacle. They were given the responsibility of taking care of the things, praise God, and ministered that could be there for the Levites to minister to the people. And that wasn't good enough. They wanted to enter into the priesthood itself. Amen. Praise God. They didn't realize, amen, praise God, that there's a place where God brings us to. God begins to promote us in what He thinks we can accomplish. But so they begin to murmur against Moses. They begin to murmur against Aaron. Who were they murmuring against? They were murmuring against God. Hello? That's who they were murmuring against. It wasn't Moses. It wasn't Aaron. It was God. Moses and Aaron were just those vessels that God was using. They wanted to enter into the priesthood, amen, where they didn't belong to be. So we see Bible says that Moses prayed and God opened up the ground and swallowed up all the families of Korah with everything they possessed. And they went down into the pit. And then those 250, praise God, that had lifted up their voices, started this whole thing. God said, fire, consuming fire, come down from heaven and consume them. Amen. God took them out of the way. Right, guys, they come to a place, listen, you know what? He said, you know, we're just as good as you are. We're just, what they were saying, you know, we're as good as God is, and we don't need nobody to lead us. Amen? We can do this on our own. Ain't that what the whole world's saying now? The whole world just right and say, we got this, we can do it on our own. We don't need nobody. He said, Azaphel told me the other day, he said, I don't need your God. He said, I'm doing okay by myself. I said, buddy, you don't even realize you ain't by yourself. I said, if it wasn't for God Almighty, your heart wouldn't make another beat and you'd be gone. Amen? Praise the Lord. But the gainsaying of Korah. Praise God. They said, you know what? We think we got this. It's all under control. You know, a preacher, that got their attention. Bless God, that straightened that crowd out. Did it? It amazed me. I was reading this and I thought, my goodness. Got down to Numbers chapter 16, verse 41. Just six verses later. And the Bible said the whole congregation gathered together that morning and they murmured against Moses and Aaron. Amen. I said, you know what? You've done killed our people. They blamed it on Moses. They blamed it on Aaron. Said, you've killed our people. You've killed the people of the Lord. So you did this. Amen. He said, they're blaming on Moses. Who did it? God did it. Amen. It was God that did it because they murmured against God's man. They murmured against God's people. Praise God. So God began to send a plague upon them. Amen. God began to send the plague. And as God began to send that plague, praise God, we see them a dropping like flies. And if it hadn't been for Aaron intervening, praise God, between them and God Almighty, and Moses intervening between them and God Almighty, they said this. They looked over at the tabernacle. They looked over at the temple of God. They looked over and they seen the power of God, the Shekinah glory of God falling on the place. And what do you think they'd done? They said, oh Lord, we're sorry. We murmured and complained against thee. No, they didn't. They just recanted what they'd already said. They said, oh my goodness, if God, you've done brought us out here to die. And the plague fell on them. Amen. Plague fell on them and they began to die left and right. And hadn't been for Aaron intervening, they would have all died. And then in Numbers 16:49, said before it's all said and done, 14,700 had dropped dead. Amen. 14,700 had dropped dead, not counting the ones that died of Korah and the 250. This was above and beyond that. Amen. Paul says, he says, our sins are gone, praise God. When we trust God Almighty and we just stay with God, we trust Him, we believe on Him with all our hearts. Our minds, our soul, and our strength. Amen. Praise God. So we see Aaron, he steps out and he stood between them. He stood between those dead bodies and those that was alive. Praise God. A type of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the plague was stayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. They ought to be shouting people. Shouting and praising God. But if you read on over our Numbers chapter 25, you see the doctrine of Balaam. Now Balaam had went out, Balak had done called him out and said, hey, look out, these Israelites are coming in here. He said, they're everywhere that you look. They're like the sand of the sea. He said, they're everywhere that you look. He said, I want you to come and curse me, this people. Now Balaam, of course, he had all figured out. He said, well, they probably deserve cursing. He said, there's none righteous, no, not one. I mean, he was quoting the Bible. He said, it looks like God could pour out vengeance on them and it'd be well fitting. Amen. Well, I tell you, God could open it up, pour it out today on the United States of America and it would be well fitting. Amen. I tell you what, it wouldn't surprise me a bit if he just opened up California and some of these other places and just swallowed up every one of them. Ain't so much wickedness, ain't so much contention, ain't so much strife, ain't so much iniquity in the country today. And we ain't even got to the rest of the parts of the world. It's everywhere. It's not just America. Amen? They're coming in. They're wanting that power. They're wanting that prestige. Amen? Don't want to repent of their sins and be saved. But the doctrine of Balaam. Balaam come along. He said he tried three times and he couldn't curse. He said, I can't curse them. Amen? He said, I can't curse these people, these children of Israel. But Balaam gave him a thought. He didn't. He said, the doctrine of Balaam, that's instruction. Amen? He said, I can't curse them, but I'll tell you what you can do. He said, what you can do is you can intermingle with them. Amen? Ain't that what the world's doing today? They're intermingling with us. And we're welcoming the world into the church. Now, we ought to welcome all old sinners into the church, praise God, but we shouldn't become like them. Amen? It's a hard task today to stay faithful to God, faithful to the house of God, praise God, and still trying to win old sinners. They're wanting to convert us. Hello? They're wanting to convert us into their theology. Their godliness, or godlessness, amen, ungodliness. But he said, intermingle with them. He said, what'll do it for you is if you can get them to have a lack of separation. Hello? Have you ever seen such a time as we're living in where there's a lack of separation? There's hardly any separation between God and God's people and the church. Amen. From the world. Everybody's wanting to fit in. Amen. Everybody's wanting to feel good. So the Bible said that they brought a plague. They brought a plague upon the nation of Israel as they began to intermingle, as they began to be a lack of separation. And even as they're talking to the congregation, Moses talking to the congregation, and in the midst of it, they look around, and here comes one of the Israelite fellows in with a Midianitish woman. Amen? After they've been forbidden to intermingle. And he takes her into his tent. Oh, my goodness. And the plague of God falls on the place because they're allowing this to take place. You know the Paul Harvey version. Ophanius, he's a grandson of Aaron. Eliezer's a son. And he takes up a javelin and he goes into the tent and he runs it through him and he runs it through her and it comes out her stomach. And because God said, because of Phineas, because he took a stand, he said, I'll stay the plague. Amen. People were dying like flies. The Bible said before it was finished, 24,000 dead souls. 24,000 had gave their life. All because they chose to live in sin. All because they chose to go against God. They're saying, Paul, we don't believe what you got to say. It wasn't Paul they didn't believe. It was God Almighty. Amen. A lot of times we want to blame it on the preacher. We want to blame it on the man of God. We'll kick out on God and we'll blame it on everybody in the church. Amen. Praise God. If you're going to quit on God, you're going to get mad at God, you ought to be able to blame it on God. But you'll never find that opportunity because God ain't ever quit on you. He's been there for you. He's helped you. He's ministered to you. Praise God. He's done all the things for you that God wants to do. And then some. Amen. Praise the Lord. What a God we serve. But he said if you did sin, 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 5. He said, this then is the message which we have heard of him. And declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But now listen what he says. He said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive us, and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Amen. He said, if we sin, then we have an advocate, which is Jesus Christ the Lord. We can call upon Him, ask His forgiveness. Amen. What happens to these people? What happened to people in the Bible that sinned against God? They gave in to temptation. Temptation is there. Temptation is everywhere. Amen. I'm not going to stand here tonight and blow smoke and make you think it ain't. And just because you're a child of God don't mean that you can't be tempted. But we're supposed to keep ourselves from the temptation. Amen. Praise God. Whatever you got to do, if you got to turn off that phone, if you got to turn off Facebook, if you got to turn off your TikTok, hello? Well, that'll hurt some of you's hearts. We caught up in that TikTok. We think that's the greatest thing in the world. The Chinese are brainwashing you. Amen. Amen. They're using that to brainwash you, make you think what you think's all right. Amen. Praise God. Why they're intruding into your family and your life and destroying everything around you. Hello? But they're tempted. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 12. Well, verse number 11 says, now all these things happened unto them for examples. He's talking about those things. Now, Paul was talking about those things that I was telling you about that happened, praise God, in the book of Numbers. When they were tempted in the wilderness, tried in the wilderness. Amen? Verse number 11 says, now all these things happened unto them for examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Amen. Praise God. If you think you got it and you're standing okay, you better hang. You better grab, find something to hang on to because you're fixing to fall. Amen. It's like a roller coaster, praise God. It's pretty good as long as it's climbing that hill. Chunk, 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 chunk. When it gets to that top of that thing, praise God, starts over the side, you better hold on to something. You know, a preacher, it goes so fast, you can't fall out. I ain't trusting that. Amen. Praise God. I get on one of them things. I ain't been on one in a long time. I get on them things. It goes down the other side. I've got a death grip on that bar. Man, you couldn't prize me off one of them jaws of life. Amen. Praise God. That's the way we ought to be to the Lord. We ought to have a death grip and hold Him on for dear life. Praise God. He said, there hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. Temptation. What He's saying is temptation is everywhere. Amen. Listen, you fellas, the devil will tempt you. There's websites all over your phone, all over your computer that you can go into with a click of a mouse. Hello? You better not be tempted because you ain't that strong. Amen. Same way it goes for you ladies. It's there for you too. It's been there, praise God. It ain't changed. Devil ain't changed his tactics. He said, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation almost also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. Amen. He said, hey, listen, he said, don't let yourself be tempted. But he said, God makes a way out. The Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. Praise God. Listen. Amen. Hello. Come on now. If you're saved, if you're born again, the Holy Ghost will speak to your heart and tell you what you're doing is wrong. Amen. Amen. We better, listen, church, praise God, as the church of living God, we better heed the Holy Spirit. He's speaking to the very fiber of your consciousness. Amen. An alarm signal goes up. God says, hold on a minute. Stop. Don't go there. Amen. He said, Pastor Jeff, what do? You back out. Amen. You back out and you go another direction. Praise God. Amen. So, if we ain't careful, we'll fall. We'll come short. But God says we got to be paying attention. We got to know that God's got us in His hand, that God is there for as our protector. Amen. Look at Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 23. This is what it says. He said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. That's a good man. That's one that's following God. Now look what he says in verse 24. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. He said, we may stumble, we may fall, but God's got us, praise God. He'll keep us from falling to the ground. He says, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Amen. If you're a child of God, you're living for the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know Him as your personal Savior. He said, you're saved and you're put into the hand of God. You're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're filled by the Spirit of God. Praise God, you're in a safe place. You shouldn't be able to fall. Hello? We may stumble, we may trip up, but the Holy Ghost of God will catch us when we fall. Amen. Before we ever hit the ground. Paul said, listen, we may stumble. Amen. We may stumble. We may have this old flesh may let us down. But he said, the God that lives inside us. Brother Calvin, he said, the God that lives inside us will keep us upright. Keep us doing right. Keep us running well. Amen. He said, Paul, what you're preaching is grace through faith. Grace alone. Paul said, that's right. He said, you believe me? You call me a liar? You call me, said, I'm not telling the truth? But he said, before grace, are you saved? By grace, are you saved through faith and that not of yourself? He said, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. Amen. He said, it's by grace and grace alone. Praise His holy name. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's how our sins are gone. Praise His holy. Glory. That's how we're put into the family of God. That's how we begin to do a good work. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained, which God had ordained from the beginning, that we should walk in them. Amen. God had a plan. God had a plan for us. God had a plan for Israel. God had a plan for Korah. Made him part of his plan. But sometimes we just think, well, God, your plan ain't sufficient. I need something more. But you know, what could be better than having our sins gone? Amen. When we believe in Lord Jesus Christ in faith. When we believe in faith, praise God, our sins are gone. Through the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul would go on to say this to these folks in Romans chapter 3, verse 21. He said, but now the righteousness of God without the law was manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by the grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Praise the Lord. He said, it's all God. It's all God's work. And it's all God's gift to you. Amen. He said, just give God glory because our sins are gone. Never to be remembered no more. He said he's cast them into the sea of forgetfulness. God can't remember your sins. Sure he could. But he ain't going to bring them up against you. Amen. Because Jesus said, Father, said, just I've covered them with blood. Amen. Now they're gone. Our sins are gone. Praise the Lord. For by grace are you saved. Through faith. Whose faith? Your faith. See, my faith won't save you. Amen. But the grace of God through your faith will save you.
Amen.
And when He saves you, guess what? Your sins are gone. Amen. He gives you a clean slate. Now what we do after that, hello, we'll have to give an account for.
Amen.
But if we'll recognize our sin, He said if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. Praise God. I'm glad I serve a living God. You know why? Because one of these dead gods couldn't forgive me my sins. Amen. Praise God, He couldn't. He couldn't forgive my sins. Praise God. Hey, if He died for my sins, these false gods that died for my sins, what about the ones that I do after? Praise God. After He's gone. We need some help. Praise God, I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ forgives us our sins, cleanses us from all. A-L-L, all. You know what that means? That means all unrighteousness. All those things in our life that's not right in the eyes of God. God said, if you'll confess those sins, said, I'll clean it up for you. Amen. I'll fix it. Praise God. I'll make it right. So when you appear before me, I can say, welcome, my good and faithful servant. Amen. Sometimes all we got to do. All these folks had done is to just bow their head and say, God, we're sorry. Lord, we know, praise God, we're just going to stay with you and follow you. We're going to listen to you. We're going to listen to the man of God. Listen to the God of the man. And we're going to just go with God. God made all the difference. But what they do? They get caught up in themselves. And they begin to murmur and complain. And Paul got over in Rome all them years later. Guess what he got? Some more murmuring, complaining about the man of God when he went to telling them the truth. He said, let me tell you about a better way. You've been doing all these things under the law. He said, let me give you a better way, a new vibrant way. He said, just believe in grace of God through faith that God sent Jesus Christ to die for your sins, that through Him you can be saved. Praise God.